Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You're in the madhouse now.
You are listening to The Overwhelmed Brain. Today's episode is brought to you by GetOutOfTheMess.com, quality attorneys that establish law firms for about, $20 a month.
Those prices are insane.
Are you annoyed by affirmations? Are you tired of that same old rehashed personal growth advice that all seems to boil down to, think positively and all your problems will go away? If affirmations feel like lies and positive thinking feels like denial, then I want you to get ready. The Overwhelmed Brain is here to help you create the life you want now. Hello, this is Paul Coliani, host of The Overwhelmed Brain, the personal growth show for the critical thinker. On this show, I discuss practical, down-to-earth steps to help you improve your mood and your sanity and your life. We'll talk about why we do the things we do and what we can do to reach higher levels of happiness and lower levels of stress and overwhelm. My goal is to help you become empowered so that you can create the life you want. Now, this is going to be a fun show because we're going to be talking about codependency. No, it's not that fun. We're talking about codependency and the effect it has on our relationships and our love and the connections that we have in our life. I'm talking about any relationship, not just romantic. Codependency is something that has played a huge role in my family, but it wasn't until a few years ago that I realized there was a term for it. But once I learned about it, I realized that codependency, in a nutshell, allows dysfunction to exist and continue. In fact, because of codependency, the addict will stay addicted. The clingy person will stay clingy. The jealous person will stay jealous, so on and so on. It's a creepy shadow that lurks underneath everyday interactions. It typically stays unspoken or at least not expressed clearly enough so that changes are made. There's a lot of passive aggression and silent anger and sadness that can embody codependence, and almost always it erodes a relationship to the point where trust and love are completely obliterated, and all that's left is fear and anxiety. Codependency is a self-perpetuating machine. In other words, it continues indefinitely until something changes. In physics, something like perpetual motion cannot continue indefinitely unless it is drip-fed energy of some sort. Like when you stand a bicycle upside down, you can spin the front wheel and it may seem to spin freely. However, because of friction, the wheel will eventually slow and come to a stop, even though it appears to be spinning effortlessly. It can be like this with a codependent relationship. The people involved get their needs met over and over again, but the people meeting those needs can get tired and soon not have enough energy left to give to the other person, let alone give to themselves. The relationship gets stale and painful and requires more energy to sustain itself. Like spinning the bicycle wheel, when it slows, a codependent person will give more of their own energy to the other person, depleting themselves of life and happiness. The relationship will continue to run at the expense of one or both people's energy and will do so until one of them breaks the cycle. No pun intended. As time goes on, more friction develops and people in this situation will simply wear out to the point where they just exist. The meaning that was once felt goes away and soon one or both of them will have no more energy left to give. Or if they can muster it up, the energy they put towards the relationship is fueled by fear, anger, sadness, or a number of other emotions, the relationship becomes self-sustaining and unsatisfying, causing resentment to build day after day. By the time this episode is over, you'll know exactly what codependence is, and if you are co-creating it with anyone in your life, and what steps you can take to start changing things for the better. If you already know you're in a codependent relationship, then you probably know how challenging it is to stop the behavior that keeps codependency alive. As much as you may want someone else to stop or change what they're doing, it's possible your actions allow what they're doing to continue. In other words, you could very well be creating a situation where the other person is more free to be the way you don't want them to be. Your behavior, as much as you think it's helping, could be what's giving them a free pass to continue doing what they're doing. This isn't always the way, of course. I mean, you could have a highly functional, interdependent relationship and still have dysfunction show up in one or both of you. But there is sometimes a not-so-obvious underlying system working in the background, covertly allowing and even precipitating that dysfunction. It's this system that both people feed into and keeps the wheel spinning. If that sounds a tad convoluted, not to worry, as we'll be diving into all of this in a moment. But for now, I think I need to confess something that came to my mind while preparing for this episode. I just realized this week that I might have actually perpetuated a codependent relationship with my wife, which became one of the components of the breakdown of our marriage. In previous episodes, I talked about how I would get triggered by my wife's emotional eating. Her reaching for junk food triggered fear and sadness in me because I wanted her to come to me for emotional support, not food. There was more to it, but that's basically the backstory. Well, now that I think back on it, I remember that when I would get triggered, she would also get triggered and feel guilty about making me feel bad. Or maybe she felt guilty about eating junk food, or maybe something else entirely. Regardless, us triggering each other can ultimately be perceived as a codependency. When she felt guilty, she typically ate more junk food to help herself not feel so bad. So in a sense, my emotional reactions were triggering her emotional reactions and facilitating her addiction. Our relationship was a somewhat codependent one. The same thing can be said about my mom and my stepfather. When they lived together, there were so many things that were dysfunctional, and it only got worse and worse over time. I remember when I was living in Oregon, she would call me and tell me about the times that she had to shovel snow in the driveway because he would be too drunk and too busy sending money to scammers on the internet. He never had to lift a finger, in fact, because she cooked and cleaned and shoveled the snow and even went to the store for him to pick up his cigarettes and alcohol. She did everything he didn't want to do merely to keep the peace. In other words, enable. Enabling is when you create a situation where a dysfunctional behavior can continue. His dysfunction was his drinking addiction. If he drank, he would be too drunk to do anything around the house, so my mom felt like she had to do it. If he passed out and wouldn't wake up, she would call an ambulance and he would go to the hospital. If he ran out of money, she would give him more so that he could continue to be helpless and needy. The more needy he was, the more my mom would do to fulfill those needs. She did it reluctantly because she didn't want him to lose his temper, but because she did it at all, she was creating a situation that would absolutely never change. She couldn't stand to be around him and just wanted him to leave, but why would he leave when all he has to do is sit around and stay helpless while she cared for him? The codependency of this situation is that she got her needs met by keeping his needs met. Her needs were to keep the peace in the home so that she wouldn't be any more fearful of him than she already was. And instead of leaving herself, she realized that keeping the peace in this way was a solution, even though she absolutely hated the situation she was in. This is what happens in a codependent relationships a lot. One of you dislikes or hates the situation you're in, but you continue to feed into the codependence to assure that it never ends. The relationship gets worse and worse and will continue to erode as long as one person is feeding into it and the other is receiving. The tricky part for my mom was that she thought that by being passively or actively aggressive towards him, that he would eventually see that he was hurting her and he would change his behavior. But in the end, all it did was make him want to drink more. Whenever he would say something to her in his drunken state, she would retort with a hurtful or angry comment, hoping he'd see how upset she was and then pull back. But when you're in a self-perpetuating machine like this, the cycle of give and take actually feeds into the negativity and dysfunction and gives it more power to continue existing. For instance, right now, he's out of the state, which has broken almost all of his dependencies on the family, but he's contemplating moving back now, which is triggering a lot of the same fears in the family as when he lived up here previously. My family is afraid that he'll move back and ruin the more peaceful environment his leaving created. After he left, several members of my family changed. Some were depressed and now they aren't. My mom was angry and scared all the time and now she's not. His absence created a wave of peace that rippled through the entire family. But if he moves back and the family hasn't learned to honor their personal boundaries, the situation may end up reverting back to the way it was. He will act helpless and needy, and the family may give in to his needs. This may not happen. For example, my mom is very adamant about him never returning to live with her. But some other members of the family may choose to put him up, which means if he's around, then he'll probably attend family functions such as Thanksgiving and Christmas, which would cause a divide in the family. Some will attend and others won't. It's pretty incredible how one person can change the entire dynamic of a family, isn't it? One person can be a vortex of misery, and their presence can shape the future of so many people. This is what happens in many codependent relationships. It's not just the two people in the codependency. It's everyone else that's affected both directly and indirectly. When my mom held a codependent relationship with my stepfather, no one wanted to come over to the house. This saddened my mom because she wanted to see members of the family, but they couldn't stand being around my stepfather. Codependency can destroy relationships. It is the slow and subtle erosion of love and family. When he left my mom, the codependence was still around for about a month and a half, and he wasn't even there. That's how strong it is. The person doesn't even have to be there for it to exist. But absence does make the heart grow stronger in the case of codependence. Once one of the players is gone, new thought starts to seep in, slowly but surely. These new thoughts are the building blocks to what could be a brighter and much different future for the once codependent person, assuming he or she has learned from the past and built stronger personal boundaries. Because without those two things, the dysfunction could start all over again, either with the same person as before or with someone entirely different. Codependence is when two or more people develop a dependency on each other to support a dysfunctional relationship. An example is when someone fulfills the needs of an alcoholic that supports his or her alcoholism. In other words, the alcoholic runs out of money and can't work because of their condition. So the spouse gets a job and supports the alcoholic. This makes it easier for the alcoholic to stay unemployed, continue drinking, and rely on their spouse to take up the slack. The person who takes up the slack so that the other person can continue to be unhealthy in some way is called an enabler. An enabler does just that, enables. Or to be more descriptive, an enabler makes it a lot easier for the dysfunction to exist and persist. There's a positive definition for enabling too, but for this episode, we'll focus on the not so positive aspect of enabling. An example of an enabling behavior could be where an alcoholic throws a glass, which smashes into hundreds of sharp fragments. Because the other person knows the alcoholic will eventually get hurt from the sharp glass, they clean it up for them. This essentially keeps any accountability for the alcoholic's actions at a minimum. The less accountable the alcoholic is, at least in this example, the more he or she is enabled to continue to behave badly or even worse next time. Now, I'm not only picking on alcoholics in this episode, so I apologize if you are recovering and aren't like the person I am describing. I'm referring to anyone who behaves in an unhealthy way, whether they're an alcoholic or a drug addict or an abuser, or even the less prevalent things like obsessive and jealous or clingy and generally needy. I'll be referring to alcoholics now and again in this episode because that is who I have the most personal history and experience with. Anyway, back to my point. As long as someone is there to clean up the mess of the dysfunctional person is getting all of his or her needs met and not being made accountable for their behavior. And every time something similar happens in the future and someone else is there to help or clean up the mess, the dysfunction continues. I'm seeing patterns in my stepfather that are really odd now that he lives alone 1,000 miles away. He's sending messages to different members of my family with all kinds of fabricated stories, looking for someone to take care of him. He's not used to living alone and is learning that no one is around to clean up after him and bail him out of everyday challenges. I think he soon realized that after he moved out that no one would be there to pay his bills and shield him from his own foolish behavior. He doesn't know how to survive. He's been in a codependent relationship with my mom for about 44 years, which equates to my entire life. She used to protect him and make excuses for him and clean up his messes and do everything else just because it wouldn't get done otherwise. Everything she did for him gave him more time to get lazy and drink. One of the most common types of codependent relationships is when one person has an addiction or some sort of unhealthy need or behavior, and the other has a need to be a supporter or a savior in some way. This arrangement is typically one-sided. In other words, both people have needs, but one gets them fulfilled while the other does not. The needs of the most unhealthy and needy person usually get met time and time again, whereas the needs of the rescuer are not. In the beginning of this kind of relationship, this dynamic actually works well. A rescuer thinks that he or she can nurture the one who needs rescuing. And the one getting rescued loves the attention and may even find that being nurtured encourages them to clean up and become healthy again. It's very common for the beginning of this type of relationship to work wonderfully for both people because they feel as if they found the perfect match. However, what the rescuer ends up finding out is that the person cannot be rescued most of the time. Or if the unhealthy behavior such as addiction or neediness does stop, it may come out in other destructive ways. This is important to understand because what appears to be ideal at first can turn sour pretty quickly. A helper/rescuer type of person expects the other person with dysfunction to improve over time. But what can and does happen often is that the dysfunctional person gets used to the treatment he or she is getting and gets more comfortable believing it's going to stay this way. I don't know if comfortable is the right word, but they do get used to being treated with extra care because of their dysfunction. When a dysfunctional person gets comfortable and the rescuer continues rescuing, there are three scenarios that could result. Let's talk about those next. The three scenarios that could result from an ongoing codependent relationship are: 1. The person with the unhealthy behavior, habits, or addiction can improve, and he or she can start healing because there is a support structure in place. This can be beneficial as the roles of each person can balance out so that the helper can be more neutral and the person healing can become more empowered. This result is favorable and has a chance to help the relationship grow and evolve. Or 2, the person with the unhealthy behavior might stay where they are, knowing that they no longer have to take care of many of their typical daily activities. They may take full advantage of the opportunity they have, relying on someone else to take care of everything that they would normally have to do on their own. Someone like this will not change and will probably get deeper into their dysfunction over time. Or the third result could be the person with the unhealthy behavior stops the unhealthy behavior but replaces it with something else. Typically, bad habits and addictions have to do with suppressing emotional pain of some sort. So once one crutch is removed, another one takes its place. I've seen drug addicts turn into sex addicts or smokers turn into emotional eaters. This situation will have the same result as the previous one, 2, because there is no evolution of the situation, as it will become a similar or worse situation than before. And the biggest problem with this scenario is that if the person with the unhealthy behavior changes because someone else wants them to change, they may never get to self-empowerment, which means they will likely just find another addiction or unhealthy behavior. And really, self-empowerment is the fastest, longest-lasting method of eradicating dysfunction. In other words, when someone with an addiction has finally had enough and is sick of being sick, self-empowerment has a chance to kick in and become the impetus for change. It's like when you're a teenager and you think you know how the world works and don't like to do what you're told. I realize not all teenagers are like this, but you know what I mean. A teenager might get advice to say, stay out of that abandoned building, but that's basically an invitation for them to go inside that building as fast as possible. The fact that someone else wanted them to stop gave them the motivation to do it. Whereas if they were never told to stay out and maybe someone mentioned it in front of them casually, like, I would never go into that building. The floors could give way and I'd end up breaking my neck. The teenager might contemplate the risks of going, making it possible for them to come to a decision on their own about what to do or what not to do. This is self-empowerment, coming up with the decision on what to do on your own without necessarily being told what to do. But when it comes to the three results I just mentioned, the unfortunate truth is that most codependent relationships will never see the first result, where the unhealthy behavior stops and the individuals inside the relationship evolve and grow. No, what you normally see or be a part of yourself is 2 or 3, because the system feeds itself. Person A gives what person B wants, and vice versa. It's a dysfunctional balance that creates a well-oiled machine, even though it's an unhealthy balance. But as long as one's needs are met and the other is willing to fulfill those needs, the system is flawless. The dysfunction continues and even strengthens, and the codependent helper continues to give and support the other person more and more as needed. It becomes draining for the helper, but it seems like they're helping and the other person is improving, so they keep doing it. It's sad. I watched this for years and years with my mom. In my 20s, she was annoyed and frustrated and embarrassed by my stepfather's behavior. And in my 30s, she hated him and wanted him gone. And then in my 40s, her hatred grew so strong, she would blatantly say it to his face. Yet because she always thought that he would change, she chose not to do anything to help herself out of the situation. And that's such an important key point I want you to take away from this discussion today. I mean, we're going to talk about some steps to help you break from codependency in a moment. But this one important point must be taken to heart. And here it is. Accept the fact that the other person will never improve or change who he or she is. This doesn't mean it's entirely true, but you have to come to an acceptance of this in order to make decisions from a place of clarity and confidence. One of the main things codependents do is expect the other person to get better. More times than not, they don't get better and sometimes get worse. Again, not always the case, but it's a matter of accepting that it will be that way. Because when you come to accept this as a fact, you will take action instead of playing the waiting game. What kind of action? You'll make it clear to the other person what you want and don't want in your life. If their unhealthy behavior is something you don't want to be around for months or years to come, then you make a choice. You come to terms with the fact that the other person will never change, so that you can change what you need for yourself. Now, what if the other person does change? Great! If that happens, ask them why they did it. Did they do it for you? Or did they do it because of some sort of self-realization and self-empowerment? Where the motivation comes from is important. Self-empowering decisions typically stick more than decisions made because of someone else. In other words, you are more likely to stay with someone who changes from the inside out instead of from the outside in. When the change is requested of you, it's harder to comply. But when it springs up from inside you, that is powerful. Now, I'm not just talking directly to the helpers in a codependent relationship. I'm talking to those with unhealthy behaviors as well. If you have a dysfunction, whether it's an addiction or other unhealthy behavior, you can also help your relationship by telling your partner not to accommodate you. I realize this is a tall order, especially if you have grown comfortable to someone always supporting you. But if there's any part of you that wants to change, it has to begin with self-initiated changes. A conscious decision to make changes means making hard decisions that will make your life better in some way. I remember when I was 17, I was using a power tool to drill through some metal. Well, as a teenager, I used to take a lot of chances. And one of those chances was not wearing safety goggles while using a power tool. And sure enough, a tiny sliver of metal shot into my eye and landed in, or at least on, my eyeball. I couldn't get it out with tears, so I made a hard choice. It's going to sound a little strange, but I'll share it anyway. I asked my older sister if she would remove it, but in a way where I couldn't ruin her chances of success by interfering. What I meant was that she needed to make sure that I didn't resist. So here's what I did. I laid on my back and I told her to sit on my chest and then lock my arms under her legs so that I couldn't move. And by putting all of her weight on my arms, any resistance I had would have been pointless. The reason I wanted her to lock me down like that is because she was going to stick a Q-tip on my eyeball. And I knew I would respond by being defensive. I knew myself well enough to know that I would resist her attempts at removing this sliver. So if I couldn't move my arms, I wouldn't have any voluntary or involuntary reactions. Well, it worked. She put her full weight on my arms, and then she forced my eye open with one hand and used a Q-tip with the other one to move the sliver. It stuck to the Q-tip, and she was able to extract it from my eye. I remember resisting a little, but I forgot how much. But I was relieved when she was done, and was so grateful she agreed to do it. Sure, it was probably stupid to use a Q-tip, but it worked, and my eyes still work today. Now, the reason I tell you this story is because sometimes when we want to change for the better, we have to rely on someone else to help us get there by making hard choices for ourselves. I knew I would resist someone poking me in the eye, so I got agreement from my sister that she would not submit to my resistance, no matter what. In fact, I think I even told her, no matter what I say, don't stop. And she didn't. I was fortunate to have someone in my life agree to do something for me that would improve my life, even against my own defenses. If you are addicted to a substance or exhibiting unhealthy behaviors and want to improve yourself, see if you can get the support from the people around you to help you change. Even if you resist, it may be the hardest thing for them to agree to, but if they could do it, it could be what improves your life or even saves it. Let's conclude this segment with some practical steps you can take to start releasing yourself from a codependent relationship. Codependency is like adding gasoline to a fire. The fire rages on, never getting extinguished because someone is always there to make sure to douse the flames with more fuel as needed. Codependency is also typically weighted heavily to favor one person over the other. There is one who is much more needy and helpless than the other. And these two states are usually prolonged by the person who wants to help and will usually help more and more, not knowing they are getting nowhere. And because there is an unequal balance in the relationship or the lack of a fair give and take, resentment builds in the helper and helplessness builds in the person with the unhealthy behavior. But there is hope. There are things that either of you can do to start releasing the grasp that codependency can sometimes have. In all truth, however, it's very likely that only the helper will want to be free of their role, as the person in need has usually grown much too fond of being supported all this time. And look at it this way. If you woke up every morning to a full body massage, served your meals wherever you wanted them, and got all your desires met, would you want to give that up? I'm not saying it's like that for the dependent person, but giving something like that up can be just as difficult because it's the way of life you get accustomed to. When I was on unemployment a few years back, I remembered how hard it was to look for work because I was already getting paid. But I was smart enough to know that it would end, so I sought and found work as soon as possible. But not everyone does that. Some people will take advantage of the free ride as long as it's available, which makes codependence one of the hardest types of situations to break out of. So what can you do if you're in a codependent relationship? Well, here are some suggestions. Number one, figure out how you contribute to a bad situation to keep it bad. Just our existence in a relationship influences that relationship. And when someone in your life is needy in any way or needs help more often than not, are you really being helpful by giving them the tools they need to help themselves? Or are you giving them a band-aid each time to allow their neediness to continue? I have a friend that asks for money from everyone he knows, so I knew it was only a matter of time before he asked me. Well, he did, and when it happened, I realized if I gave him money, he would ask me again and again in the future, so I made the hard choice and said no to him, telling him that our friendship and our relationship was too important to put money in between us. He was at first surprised I said no, because it was, after all, only $5, but I think he was okay with it after I told him I didn't want any weird feelings between us. I said no, and that stopped any type of dependency that might have developed had I said yes instead. It was a tough moment, but I knew it was for the better. It was for the greater good of our relationship, as dramatic as that sounds. Number two, remember that codependence does not end until you do something completely different than what you are already doing. Most people in a codependent relationship will do more of what they're already doing, thinking that it will help the situation. But what it does is only increase the threshold of toleration. If the helper does more for the needy person will see that more of their needs are covered, allowing them to stay in a needy place. That's just how it works. After all, when you learn that all you need to do to get your needs met is to stay needy, there's no reason to change. The idea is to sometimes do the opposite of what you think will work in a situation. If you're a helper and you help the needy person be less accountable by taking up his or her slack or by giving them a proverbial band-aid whenever they need one, you're only exacerbating the situation and prolonging the codependency. If, however, you give them a tool to help themselves, they may reluctantly use it or be repelled by it. It's sort of like giving an alcoholic the number to Alcoholics Anonymous instead of giving them another drink. It could go either way, but if they do use the tool, they may be on their way to healing. And you do have to be careful here, because a needy person can be highly dependent on a helper, to the point that if anything changes, he or she will react aggressively. Which leads us to number three. Prepare your escape plan if you feel too buried in the codependency or if you live in fear. I realize that most of the suggestions I've been giving today are geared towards the helper, but that's usually the person that can step into empowerment first. The needy one has a much harder time because of what they've become accustomed to, which is why the helper really can't help them most of the time. The needy one is used to getting bailed out, not taking responsibility, and not being accountable. So that makes it nearly impossible to help them. It's like taking the bottle away from the baby, sometimes in a literal sense. Their needs can be so strong that it will feel like you are taking a big chunk of their life away when you stop drip feeding your helpfulness to them. But if you know or live with a full-grown adult that is capable of taking care of him or herself, and they rely on you for most all of their needs, you'll eventually get burnt out and crash anyway. And if you don't crash, you may end up living a dull existence, hoping things will change one day. This is the common flawed thinking that many people stuck in a codependent relationship hold on to, that someday the other person will change. It's true. Someday they could change. But it doesn't mean you have to stick around until it happens. I'm not saying to leave the situation, but I am saying that it's a good idea to start considering an escape plan. Start doing some what-ifs to visualize scenarios like, what if this person never changes? What will I do? Or what if this person doesn't change by December 10th? Should I end the relationship? Start asking the what-ifs and play out the scenarios that unfold in your head. This will get you into forward thinking mode, where you can start taking some sort of action towards a resolution and a way out of the codependency. Your way out could be by having an enlightening conversation of how tired you are of being in the situation, and that if things don't change, you'll have to leave the situation. This kind of upfront talk will bring realizations to the forefront and let everyone involved know that this codependence needs to end one way or another. And there's nothing wrong with leaving a situation and returning, assuming everyone has grown and healed from an event. When my wife started to leave when we first met, it threw me off, and I suddenly knew that I either had to grow and heal or I'd lose her. I didn't know she was serious until she said she was serious. For you, it might take packing a suitcase or having a conversation like you've never had before. Now, that's even if you want to leave. I mean, I'm sure there are codependent relationships that exist where both people like the arrangement. And if that's the case, and you both enjoy your situation, then I guess there's nothing you need to change. Just be aware that if the scenario is new, you're less likely to see the issues yet. Typically, codependent situations that last for years build resentment on one side. So check in and make sure what's true for you. That's why I like the what if game. When you visualize what if, you figure out how you'd respond in the future instead of focusing on what you hope will change now. Number four, and finally, remember that tough love can be the most powerful, rewarding, and sometimes difficult and painful healing tool that you can use. You know what tough love is, right? It's when you do something for someone's own good because you love them enough to know that even if they hate you for what you're doing, it will help them to have a better life. That's a hard pill to swallow, I realize. The other person may not necessarily hate you, but it's possible they could. Tough love is when you know what needs to be done with someone and you do it, knowing that they may even resent you for it in the moment. And it could take weeks or years for them to forgive you or not be upset with you anymore. But if their life got better as a result, then you are giving them the most unconditional love you could possibly give. Taking a step towards tough love means that you love the other person enough to want them to be happy, even if they're mad at you. It means you want the best for them, even if what's best for them doesn't include you. Tough love is about giving them the tools they need to grow and heal, whether you stay connected with them or not. I remember when I was a child, I did something my biological father didn't like. He took off his belt and told me that this was going to hurt him more than it hurt me. And then he whipped it against my backside several times, causing me to cry in pain. His belt came off only twice in my life, but I guarantee you, whatever I did to get that discipline in the first place, I never did again. I learned what not to do. Now, I'm not promoting corporal punishment or child abuse here, but I am emphasizing the power of tough love. The disciplinary steps my father took may not be agreeable to many people, but they were a form of tough love that emphasized my point clearly. I didn't like him or the punishment at the time. Then later, I loved him, and I stayed out of trouble. What tough love does is create accountability. It shows the consequences of one's actions. In fact, tough love is really just honest love and the most compassionate kind of love you can show to another human being. And if you can show so much compassion that you risk the other person hating you when you have nothing but their well-being in mind, it's practically self-sacrifice. Now, don't jump on me for using that term, but to think of someone else's health and well-being at the expense of losing them as someone close to you, and to take the steps that could very well lead them to a better life, it is a sacrifice in some ways, because most of us want to be loved, or at least liked, especially by those we love. And the only caveat to tough love is not knowing whether what we choose to do for someone else is even the right thing to do for them. Sometimes we think we know best, but sometimes we don't. So when you get into a situation where you're not sure what to do, just remove yourself from the equation altogether. As long as you don't play a role in the codependency, the other person will either find someone else or have to learn to be resourceful. So whether you actually take action and get them help in some way, or take no action and simply don't be part of the codependent process, you're still showing them a form of love and support. But this type of love, where you remove yourself from the equation, can actually lead to healing and growth. Well, in today's episode, we talked about how codependence is a two-way street. Typically, one person has more needs than the other, but almost always it's a dysfunctional way to live because one person is a source of energy and the other is the sap. I know it's a terrible analogy, right? But the problems start when the energy source, the person with the energy or the helper, has little left to give. So they become a shell, running on empties, no longer able to fulfill the needs of the sap. In the beginning, the energy source enjoys helping the energy sap, but the sap gives back by fulfilling the need of the source who enjoys helping people. But for how long does someone want to help someone else who experiences the same problems day after day? I had a friend that complained about the same things every day. And no matter what suggestions I gave, he ignored those and kept complaining about his problems. By participating in conversations with him, I was fulfilling his needs. This was more of a dependent situation where he came to depend on me as someone he could vent to but never listen to. This can be draining to hear someone tell you the same problems over and over again without them ever taking bold steps to change their life can grow old. I thought my advice was great, but he didn't change his behavior. Who knows, maybe my advice was terrible, but either way, I saw no massive steps taken on his part to make any changes. All he really wanted was for someone to hear him complain. There are people that enjoy when others complain, and when my friend finds someone that likes to hear these complaints, the codependent relationship will form and they'll get along great, at least in the beginning. Eventually, a person that becomes dependent on you to fill a need without you being equally dependent on them for your needs causes codependency. The key is the inequality of the give and take. If you give and give and give and all they do is take, that's typically unhealthy and will grow old fast. If, however, you give equally, there's usually a good chance that the relationship can grow and evolve. Remember, codependence isn't only about helping someone out while they're down and out. It could also be one person submitting to any need of another when they don't really want to, but do so in hopes the other person will change. Hoping someone will change is okay, but for how long? My advice is to set a deadline in your head and stick to it. Hoping or waiting for someone to change typically grows tiresome, and you may need to get out of the situation until they feel empowered to change on their own. If they do change on their own, then think carefully about the what ifs before getting back into the situation, because those what ifs will help you paint a picture of what will or could be and how you'll handle it. And remember to think about the what ifs about being out of the situation permanently too. After all, what if you decide not to go back? Is there a chance you could be happier? Now, I'm not here to break up any friendships or relationships. I just want you to live with the least amount of stress possible and create the life you truly want and deserve. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I thank Holly, Loretta, Dorita, Valerie, Robin, Sarah, Julia, Sandy, Kalia, and Joe. I also thank those who unsubscribed from the newsletter. Sam, Kevin, and Paula. Hey, why not? If you didn't want the newsletter, I'm still grateful for you too. And a special thank you to John, Dan, and Heather, who commented on the blog post for the last episode I created. So I appreciate you for taking the time to do that. Keep up with the show by heading over to theoverwhelmedbrain.com and sign up for your weekly personal growth message. You can also write to me anytime by sending me an email to paul@theoverwhelmedbrain.com. I want to thank the listeners who are using the Amazon link on the site to support the show. Be sure to shop at Amazon using the link theoverwhelmedbrain.com/Amazon. If you find this show valuable to you, just say thank you by using the Amazon link before you make your next purchase from them. And hey, while you're there, look for my book, Clear the Path to Happiness. Oh, and thank you, John, for doing some Christmas shopping with that link. I appreciate that very much. And it's making a difference. You're all making a difference. And it's going towards a good cause. You. And if I didn't call your name in this episode, just know that I appreciate you and thank you for being there for me, listening, learning, and growing. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten into a codependent relationship in my life. Every relationship I've ever had, there's been an imbalance of dependence on one another, and I've enjoyed when the helper supported me in my neediness. I'll admit it. It's a hard habit to break, especially when you don't know it's a problem. Codependence is the subtle erosion of love and connection. It's the process of degradation that, while you're in it, you can't typically predict the long-term effects. If, however, you're observant, you can tell where the situation will eventually lead. And knowing where it's going to end up may help you take action before you're stuck in a situation that seems impossible to escape. I'm not saying all codependent relationships are terrible, but they aren't exactly ideal. Take notice where you're taking the slack up for someone else, or they're taking it up for you. You could prevent the erosion and resentment that builds and start rebuilding a solid foundation once again. Step into your power and be firm in your decisions and actions, so that you can create the life you want. Because when you do this, you'll discover what I already know to be true about you. That you are amazing. Slowly but surely. Surely. Surely? Surely? Surely.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.